Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 257 of CJ Evolution. That is criminal justice evolution, because we are always evolving in the criminal justice field. Patrick here, host and creator. The show continues to grow because of you, the listener and supporter. And one of the big ways we grow is through ratings and reviews. If you have a moment, I sure would appreciate a review on iTunes. You can see the link on the CJEvolution.com website. And while you're there, you can check out the amazing products from Four Sigmatic. You all know that I'm partnered with this great company of amazing products, elixirs, cocos, most notably their mushroom coffee. And best of all, you're going to get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. You know, folks, most of us who work in the criminal justice field are fathers, we're mothers. We go out there, we do a very difficult job, whatever you're doing, protecting the communities. Maybe you're working in a prison. You're doing what you have to do. But we all want to come home to our families. My next guest I had the pleasure of meeting down at the Conclave of Warriors in Miami at the beginning of December. He's an amazing guy, and he has one of the fastest growing podcasts on parenting out there called First Class Fatherhood. I hope you enjoy this great interview. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am super excited to have this next gentleman on the show. I had the pleasure of meeting Alec Lace down at Conclave of Warriors in Miami about a couple weeks ago. If you don't know who he is, he's the host and creator of First Class Fatherhood, one of the fastest growing podcasts about fatherhood out there. Alec, are you there, sir?
I'm here, Pat, and I'm honored to be on board here today.
Well, I appreciate you being here, man. And like I said in the intro, I met you down, had the pleasure of meeting you down at the Conclave of Warriors. Never met you before, but I remember we were all in a big room and we were talking to some of the speakers. As you know, you were there, Alec, and I remember you got up and you were like, "Hey, Alec Lace, and I have this show." And I was like, after you're done asking questions, I think it was Bedros you asked a question to, I was like, "Man, I got to see if Alec will come on my show," and here you are.
Yeah, the Conclave of Warriors was really an awesome event, and I had the fortune of having all seven of the speakers there. I had all of them on my podcast, so it was awesome to get a chance to meet them in person and pick their brain a little bit, you know, face-to-face.
Yeah, so I gave you a little bit of an intro. I don't think I gave you due justice with my intro right there, Alec. For those of you who, or for those people out there who don't know who are you, and how did you get started with this podcast you have?
Well, first of all, my name is Alec Lace. I'm a 38-year-old father of four children, married for 14 years. I've been working for the railroad as a railroad diesel engine mechanic for 19 years. And my two older boys became interested and wanted to become YouTubers about a year ago or so. And which is, by some surprise. So I told them, you know, that it's more than just turning on the phone and just fooling around. So I was trying to show them a little bit and try to get involved in the process with them. And as I was doing that, I discovered podcasts. I never really understood really what a podcast even was before. I was really just a, ignorant when it came to social media and everything pretty much online. So when I found out what podcasts were, that kind of got the stir going in my brain about maybe I'll try that and use that as an example to show them how to dump some hard work into it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you come up for the idea? I mean, obviously you're a father. I'm a father, and there are plenty of fathers out there. But how did you come up with the idea, or what was the catalyst, Alec, to say, you know, I'm going to start a show, because it's just an amazing show. How did you come up with, I want to start a show on fatherhood and you know, the mistakes that people make with, because we all make mistakes in fatherhood, but how did you come up with this? Because it's really a great, great show, great idea.
Yeah, well, thank you. And basically, I wanted to make something that my kids would be able to listen to, for one. So I kind of wanted to stay away from any of the blue stuff. I wanted to stay away, number one, from politics, and I wanted to stay away from stuff of that nature. So, like I said, I took out a book from the library, read it about podcasting, and it said, Everything that I was reading was saying, stay true to something that you're involved in every day and that you're passionate about, you know, truly from your heart passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I drive Uber on the weekends as a side hustle. And something that drives me crazy about the younger generation, especially of the men, is that they have this negative outlook on fatherhood and on family life. And I think they're getting that from the popular culture, through movies, through the media, and they have this idea that family life and fatherhood is something that they want to avoid and not something that they want to embrace. So I figured this would be a great way to get that message out there that, hey, fatherhood rocks and family values rule, and if we strengthen our family values and nourish our family units in this, I think half the problems that we have in this country would simply start to dissolve. So I wanted to bring on some, if I could, I wanted to bring on some high-profile, successful people. Mm-hmm. And I'm a faith-based person, so I truly believe that anything you ask for in prayer, if you believe you have received it, it will be yours. Mm-hmm. And so I prayed for some guests and some big names to come on to help me spread my message. And before I knew it, I had Deion Sanders on, Kurt Warner on, you know, a lot of the Navy SEALs, and, mm-hmm. and just it just really started taking off on me.
Now, what kind of topics do you talk about, Alec, in the show? I mean, I've listened to the show, but for those people out there that haven't listened to it yet, I mean, what do you cover, you know, in First Class Fatherhood? I mean, what are some of the general questions you ask your guests?
Yeah, well, when I do like a solo show, I'll hit topics like typical battles at dinner time, battles at bedtime, stuff like that, that we all go through, waiting in line with kids in the store. I touch on those things, but when I have guests on, I like to ask them how, especially like I get, you know, an NFL Hall of Famer or somebody like that. I ask them, you know, how did fatherhood impact or change your perspective on life? How do you handle discipline with your kids and things like that? And then I'll ask them fun questions about what they do during the holidays or fun activities they do. Do they coach their kids and similar questions along that line?
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the issues that you see most fathers out there have, Alec, with fatherhood? I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of them, but can you hit on some of the highlights?
Well, one thing that's very striking, too, I have, and I try to reach out to dads from every spectrum. So I've had a lot of single dads, divorced dads. I even had a gay dad on the podcast. I try to open it to everybody. And one of the things where in a world where we want equality, it seems like everyone wants equality with everything. It doesn't seem to be equal when it comes to parenting. The society seems to favor the mother more over the father, and that we don't see that anywhere more blatant than in the legal system. Mm-hmm. And when I bring on these single dads, man, and I listen to some of the horrors that they went through just to try to get some basic visitation rights with their kids, mm-hmm. it's horrifying to hear. And it's, I think we lose so many good dads in our culture, in our society, just because they get so frustrated with this entire process of what they have to lose, the money it costs them, their ego gets diminished. And it's like they, instead of sacrificing all of this to try to be in their kids' lives a little bit, some of them just throw their hands up and walk away, and we lose valuable fathers in our culture just because of the process.
Yeah, that's such a good point, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, and it's sad, Alec, you know that. I mean, no father should... You know, I guess I could see the frustration, you know, in the legal system. Our legal system is not perfect. But I don't think any father should just walk away because, as you know, I'm speaking to the choir. I mean, that's time you're never going to get back, man.
Yeah, and you know what? I try to hold my – I mean, I could never see myself ever doing that. But when I talk to some of these guys where it's cost them six figures, some guys I've had on the show, seven figures. I mean, some people, it's cost them everything in their life just to remain partial in their lives. I've had one dad, Ted Rubin, on, whose kids don't even want to know him. And he does everything he can to stay involved in his kids' lives. And it's hard. It's for some of these dads that have gone through it, I haven't. So I can only go by what they tell me, it's horrifying.
And I agree, but I think a lot of that, when you have kids in your life, I mean, yeah, nobody's perfect, but I think some of that, you know, is just coaching by the other half, saying, look, your dad's a dirtbag and stuff like that, instead of saying, you know, look, I mean, divorces are messy, you know that, but, you know, when I got divorced, one of the things that, you know, my ex-wife and I agreed to at a very early stage was, you know, we're not going to talk shit about each other. You know, we're going to treat each other with respect. We might have differences, but we're not going to air those differences in front of the kids, which I think is very, very important.
I think that's the whole bowl of soup right there. If the two can make that agreement, then the whole thing changes. It's when that doesn't happen is where I think all the issues come into play.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about, you know, I mean, maybe how do I phrase this? What about... let me back up. Tell us about some of the guests you had. You mentioned you had a gay father on, and I can't imagine some of the struggles that person has gone through with his fatherhood. I mean, just society in general can come down on something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had his name was Jeff Giese. I had him on. He's got a pretty popular following on Twitter, on social media. But he did. He came on and talked about some of the struggles he faced, not only just from outside society, but inside the gay community as well. The LGBT community, and it's like, he faces struggles on a whole different level of being a dad. You know, so it was very interesting to hear his perspective on it too. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is some of the differences? You talk about, you know, one of the things that I read about you, Alec, is you talk about reading with your kids as opposed to reading to your kids.
Yeah, and that goes, a lot of the dads, I love to hear, like, some of the books that they like to read and what they like to get involved in. I actually had Brad Meltzer, who writes the I Am series, if you ever heard of it. It's a great series.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love to, what I'll have is, like, my older son read it. Well, all four of us will get down. My daughter, obviously, is too young to read, but all four of us will get down and each take a turn reading a page and get into the story. And his series is really phenomenal. So, but those books we'll read. We'll read the Mr. Men and Little Miss books together. And it's just, it's a chance to get away from the technology and to just spend some time with imagination and reading the story, discussing the story together. I just think it's considered an old pastime at this point, but I think one that we shouldn't get away from.
Well, I mean, we were talking a little bit off the air about our kids and the differences in ages. My kids are a little bit older than yours. But I go out now, and I know you see it, Alec, is you go out to dinner in a restaurant, and you'll see a family sitting around, their faces are buried in their phones, and there's not any talking going on, maybe an occasional glance at the menu, and then it's right back to the phones. I was out with my wife and I were out with our daughter just a couple hours before the show, and we were all having a good conversation, but you look around the room, and you see how many people are buried. The point in that is what you are saying. You know, I think that reading to your kids, because I did when I was a young father to my young kids, I think it's gone, dude. You don't see it anymore. And those are, again, years you're not going to get back, time with your kids that you're not going to get back. Put your phone down.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think it's even further than that. I think reading in our society in general is pretty much out the window. When I ask people, like I said, I use Uber as a great way to do this, and I'll ask people, hey, what book are you reading? They look at me like I got six heads. They're like, what are you talking about? And then a lot of these guys I just picked up at college.
You mean my Audible book? What are you talking
right.
about?
Right, yeah, and it's bad. And that's the other, I will say this, about this generation of kids in college now, the technology is great because they're not drinking and driving anywhere near the way, unfortunately, my group did when we were their age, but that's great to see. But on the other side of that, once they get into the car, there could be five, six of them, they're not talking to one another. They're all looking at the face, their faces are all in the phone, and they're saying, oh, did you get that? Did you get this? Did you get that? And that's the communication.
I think I was listening, speaking of technology, I was listening to a podcast a while ago. I think it was Tim Ferriss or somebody was talking about they take these digital detoxes. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but he for like a couple weeks, once a quarter, he'll go on a trip or something, and he'll leave his phone purposely, and he'll tell his team, he'll say, all right, here's the number. If you absolutely need to get a hold of me, if the world's blowing up, let me know. Other than that, I don't want to know anything. He won't take his laptop. He won't take his cellular. He'll go somewhere, and he'll have to actually – have to talk to people, you know. He can't.
Yeah.
You have to actually get on a, you know, talk to people. Okay, how do I get here? You know, the technology's out the window, and he said it's the best thing he does.
Yeah, I think it's the communication skills. I think everybody sees that they're starting to break down amongst the younger generation who's never known a world without a cell phone. And one of the books I recommend to my, I just recommended to my 12-year-old is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I think it's a staple. And I think it's a really good one for this generation of kids to read because they're lacking in that department. And I think something like that it could just be a good kind of refresher to help them eye contact when you're speaking. That seems to be something that's like a lost art for the generation right now.
It's crazy. What motivates you, Alec? I mean, I'm sure, but you know, you get up in the morning and you're like, okay, this is the reason why I'm jumping out of bed. I'm sure your kids are a big part of it, your family, which is huge. But what else motivates you? In the morning to go and go after it?
I think I have a real big desire to just get better in all aspects of my life. I've been through some struggles in my life, and I've had a lot of change. I lost my parents at a younger age. In my early 20s, I lost both my parents. I've battled with alcoholism and drug use. So I've been through, you know, some of the trenches with some of those things, and I really don't know what would be a turning point, but... I'm just in a big hurry to get better as a dad, as a husband, as a podcaster, I'm on a quest to just really get better and then get to a position where I can start to help other people get better. That's really where I'm trying to get to.
Now, have you always had that drive, Alec, or was it people in your life? I mean, I really do believe that, you know, you're a product of who you surround yourself with. I mean, if you surround yourself with people who are trying to pull you down, that's where you're going to go. People who are pushing you up, that's where you're going to go. So what you went through, I mean, everybody goes through tough times. I have, you have. But what helped you through those tough times?
You know, I think my faith really helped me through most of it. Yeah. And I had all this energy, desire, and stuff my whole life, but it was always misdirected. I grew up, with a different philosophy. My father was a used car salesman in the Bronx, you know, for mostly his entire life. And I grew up with that mindset of rob, cheat, lie, steal. And that became my mindset, my focus, my hustle. And sooner or later, to no surprise, that led to some horrible decisions in my life. And it led me down some really deep paths where I needed to do some soul searching and some questions. And I need to seriously question what the hell I was doing, what my motivations were. And I think it was, I guess, somewhere along the line, not all in one shot, but just from reading and educating myself and learning and being willing to learn and understanding that, you know, I always say, like, I knew more at 19 than I do now. Now I realize that I don't know. Then I knew it all. So just a willingness to learn, I think, really changed a lot of it for me.
Yeah. Well, but that's unique, you know, because, you know, Alec, a lot of people aren't like that. Once they get in that rut, they'll stay in that rut. And the fact that you were able to pull yourself out is really a testament. Because, and faith, like you said, I mean, to have your strong faith obviously helped you. The more people I talk to on my show, successful people like you, Alec, and others, they all have morning routines, or at least most of them, 98% of them. Do you have a morning routine? And if you do, what is it?
Yeah, normally, because the situation I'm in right now, my job will change from time to time with my hours. But for right now, my morning routine, I'm in a position where I get all the kids ready, all four of them in the morning. Excuse me. I take them to school. And then I will have a chance to come home, either cook breakfast. If my wife's not working, we'll have breakfast together. And I use that morning time to set up my podcast, either write out my episode, because I spend a lot of time in the mornings when the kids are at school. This way I don't take up time when they're home from school. I try to get all my podcast work in the morning. And then I always make a trip. I take a walk to the church that we have here, and I go to adoration, and I spend about a half hour there every day, just in thought, not necessarily in prayer, but just in thought, in a meditation type of That's process, awesome. Just yeah. just a way to think and to just really find out, hey, where am I right now? What are my goals? You know, where am I heading? And I try to just give myself some clarity, and I use journaling a lot, and to mark what I'm doing, my progress in certain areas, see where I'm lacking. I have just a small exercise routine that I do, and I get to, early afternoon. And then usually it's, pick the kids up, from school, take them to their sports or whatever, and then off to work.
Yeah. It's an amazing routine. I mean, made me think about your mindfulness routine. No matter what you're doing out there, you know, taking time alone to seek clarity and get your mind right is huge. I meditate in the morning, and if you would have told me, I don't know, 5 years ago, Alec, that I'd be meditating, I would have laughed in your face. Said, are you kidding?
Me too, yeah. I would have been right there with you.
I ain't going to do that crap. But now, I mean, it just sets the tone for my day. Do I do it every day? No, but I do it the majority of days, and I can definitely tell the difference when I meditate than when I don't.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm the same way. Most people who have known me throughout my life would be laughing if they said, "Wow, he met," and it's true. And you know what? That doesn't bother me now the way it would have bothered me years ago.
No, it's growing a little wiser.
Yeah,
and there's a reason why the United States military and professional sports team are in mindfulness right now, because it works.
Yeah,
it works. And I also like what you said about journaling. I think that's very important. You know, when you write things down, it can manifest itself a lot better than we just stick it away in our mind, because we'll forget about it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I think one of the great things about the technology is it gives us access to so many of these people now. Like, I've been blessed to have some of these guys. I've learned so much just from doing the podcast. The Navy SEALs alone, and just their mindsets, man, it's really impressive. And it's like, wow, if that's a possibility and that's available to all of us, why aren't more of us striving to be like them? Like that mindset and that mentality. It's amazing what they're capable of doing. And if we could just get 10% of that, my whole life would be different. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, exactly. And the technology. I mean, it's amazing now, especially with podcasting. you know, where, and I think I was talking to this with Justin a few days ago, you know, you don't have the gatekeepers you did at one point. Like, if I wanted to, you know, Alec Lace to come on the show, I'd have to go through your publicist or something like that, or somebody. Now I could just reach out to you, you know, through technology. And it's really amazing, you know, like you said, to get connected with these movers and shakers and these influencers, these great Navy SEALs, you know, people like Bedros and all these other people through technology. It really is an amazing time to live. Now, I don't think nothing will ever take the place, or it shouldn't take the place of face-to-face human interaction, like you said, reading to your kids, spending time with your kids, stuff like that. But I love technology.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. One dad that gave me a great idea, Ed Milette. I had him on the podcast, and he's I wish more people would follow guys like Bedros, guys like Ed Milette, because they have such inspirational stuff on their feed. Right. And when he came on my show, he was giving a suggestion for the kids, but I glommed it and did it myself. He was saying that a good way to get your kids to look at their goals, he said the average person checks their phone like I don't know how many times a day, hundreds of times a day, and he said on your screensaver. Have on your screensaver your goals and have them there. This way you're looking at them 100 times a day, 1,000 times a week. And so I did, as soon as I got done with that phone call, I did it. You know, I was like, that's an amazing idea and
that
a way
is
to just
really
kind of.
Amazing idea. I'm writing it down right now.
Yeah, I thought that was wonderful, man. I was like, man, I got something right out of that, you know, immediately. So it's just things like that. And just sometimes it's just hearing people say the same thing in a different way, and it really unlocks it in your head and makes sense to you. You know, you never know where that could come from.
Yeah.
You know, it could even come from a movie or a song. It could come from something, but the way you hear it, it may just, you know, change your mindset just a little bit.
Yeah. What are your future plans for your show, buddy? I mean, the show is growing. What next for Alec?
Yeah, I'm hoping to scale it up here in 2019. I'm hoping to get on YouTube and maybe do some, you know, some live interviews and really just to learn. And just figure out, you know, I just got monetized and, I got some sponsors on the show now and I'm trying to build the listenership right now. That's the main thing is because I'm still young into this. I'm very new. I'm 115 episodes in and I got a long way to go, but I am really looking forward to the future of it with great anticipation. I can tell you that.
Well, Alec Lace, you are doing great things, my brother. Keep up the fantastic work. Again, Alec Lace's podcast is called First Class Fatherhood. It'll be linked up in the show notes. Alec, any parting words of wisdom you want to give our listeners, sir?
Just that, remember, guys, we're not babysitters. We're fathers. You know, not just fathers. We are first class fathers.
All right, brother. Take care.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.